Hallelujah. All righty. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. If you will. We're going to be speaking about an individual here that at one time he despised the church. At one time he persecuted the church. And then he fell in love with the church. But it's, and I reckon probably, if I put a title on it, would have to be the speaking about the New Testament church, because it is the New Testament, and we see where over there in chapter 2, it speaks about the first church. We see that in chapter 2 in verses 42 down through 47, where they continue this steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wondered, and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They was all in agreement together, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, in the breaking of bread from house to house, and did eat. Thank God for that we can eat. But we can eat the right kind of food, or we can take upon the food that's not all that good for us as far as our body is concerned. But it says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That right there, it tells us right there that the only way the church ever grows, that it will grow daily, and it can grow daily, as long as souls are saved and comes and joins the local church. And I mean, let me rephrase that. Not come and just join the local church, because once they get saved, they are a body of the church. But yet they need to be affiliated with a church. And it's, you know, I still believe this today, that I'm a Baptist by choice. I'm not a Baptist because I was led to the Lord and I got baptized in a Baptist church. That's not the reason I am a Baptist. I'm a Baptist by choice and choice only. The reason for that is that I believe the Baptists come closer to God's precious word than any others I hear. Because there's others I hear that they don't think about being baptized, being immersed in the water. They believe that you can be sprinkled. Well, to me, if you're being sprinkled, that means just the top of your head's going to get a little wet. But when you're baptized, you're immersed just like Jesus was immersed there when John the Baptist, when he baptized him. But when John baptized the Lord Jesus, he baptized him the same way that we are baptized today in water, and he's immersed. The whole body goes underneath the water. And that right there is a type of a cleansing. Cleansing our soul, cleansing our heart, and cleansing our mind. People today, they don't think that, well, you ain't got to be baptized to go to heaven. You don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. No, you don't. But you have to be saved to go to heaven. You have to be saved to go to heaven, and there's not but one way. And that's through Jesus Christ. It's not through the pastor. It's not through the local church. Only one is through is Jesus Christ. And him only. And that's the only way that we can really get saved. Truly be born again into the family of God. And then we'll see over there. I mean, my scripture is going to come from chapter 8. But we'll see over where the Christian, or in chapter 4, verses 23 down through 31, we see where the Christians, they was filled with the Spirit of God. And as they was filled with the Spirit of God, it says then in verse 24, it says, and when they had heard that they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage? And the people imagined vain things. The king of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. I sure am glad that the Lord Jesus Christ did not forget about the Gentiles. Because if he'd have forgot about the Gentiles, that means he would have forgot about us. And the Lord forgets, he don't forget about nobody. Even today, some of the Jewish people, some of the people over in Israel, they're still not saved. They're still looking for the Messiah to come. But he's come. He's come the first time. And we're looking for him to come back the second time. The second time he comes, that's when we're all going home. That's when the saved is going home and spend eternity with Jesus Christ and spend eternity with the loved ones that's gone on before him, before us. But here, I want us just to look at a few things here in verse 1 through 5 or 6 in chapter 8 in the book of Acts. Chapter 8 in the book of Acts. This right here is talking about the chief persecutor, the one that led the group to go and to persecute the Christians, to persecute the church. And that was Saul, the chief persecutor. And that's chapter 8 and verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judah and Samaria, except the apostle. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church entering into every house and haling men and women, committing them to prison, making havoc. That was Paul. He just wanted to make such a big deal about what he was doing and who he was doing it for. And he wasn't doing it for the Lord God. He was doing it for the priest, and he was doing it for the people back then. And he was doing it for himself. And he was doing it for the individuals also, the martyr of the of Paul. We see that over in verse number 54 through 58, and all through 60, and then in chapter 7. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into the heavens and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see a heaven open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stood and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Verse 1, it says, right here it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Paul had went to him and told him, says, okay, says, now I'm saved. You can take my life, but I'm not going to persecute the church any longer. This is in chapter 8, and we'll see where it goes on in chapter 9, where Paul, when he tells the people there that he's on the road to Damascus. And the reason he was on that road to Damascus, he was on that road for a specific reason. And he was there to meet none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, because he knew it was coming, because conviction had come to his heart. And I believe that Paul knew that conviction was already on him. I believe it was the Holy Ghost of God that was bringing conviction unto Paul. But not only that, it says, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committing them to prison. He was still committing people to prison, even though I believe that the Holy Spirit was dealing with him. Even though we can go back and we can look, we can go back to the time that the Holy Spirit was dealing with us before we got saved. We had not changed. We had not really changed our complete life. But I believe this, that as soon as the Holy Spirit jumps on us, and as soon as the Holy Spirit gets a hold to our heart and gets a hold to our mind, I believe instantly we're saved right then before we call out to God. This is my thought on that. I'm not going to argue with nobody about it. But I believe that Paul experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, because it says down here in verse 4, it says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They was preaching Jesus Christ. They was preaching about the Messiah. They was preaching about the Son of God. And Paul was also there. Paul heard the message also. Paul had heard from heaven through the precious power of the Holy Spirit. And the people with one accord gave heed unto these things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see over here now, we'll turn over to chapter 9. And we'll be talking about a man here whose name was Saul that one time, but he changed his name. It was the conversion. And the conversion took place for half by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit introduced him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus. Other words, he went that morning to the high priest there of that time that was running the persecution business and everything. But Paul went there and he went to him and he asked him, he says, do you have any letters for me to take to Damascus? Paul specifically wanted to get on that road to Damascus. Because it did say there that he wanted to get on that road. And it says right here, it says, and desire of him letters to Damascus. He desired them letters. That's the only letters he wanted. He wanted them letters because he knew that conviction was coming to his heart. And the Holy Spirit of God, I believe this, that the Holy Spirit of God was speaking to Paul that morning about when you get to the office, request certain letters, request the letters to Damascus. And when Paul said that he desired for the letters to Damascus, Paul really didn't know what was going on. Paul did not know what was really going to happen. But he knew that someone else was telling him this. He knew that a voice was speaking to him. And he says, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him. Up until right then, Paul didn't have no idea what he was going to do in Damascus, at the synagogue, into the church, into the Christians. He didn't know what he was aiming to do because he hadn't opened the letters then. But when he finally opened the letters, he come to find out that he was not going to be doing the same job that he's been doing all along, persecuting the church, persecuting the Christians. Same way with us. Yeah. I can remember when I was lost, I didn't want to go around and shake hands with a preacher. I didn't want to go around people that was in church. Why? Because, see, they didn't love the same thing that I loved. And I didn't, at that time, I didn't love to go to church. I didn't love the Lord. Matter of fact, I didn't even know what the word love really even meant. And I thought the love that I told my wife that I loved her, I thought I knew what that meant. But I didn't really. I come to find out after I got saved what it really meant. But as he journeyed, came near to Damascus, and suddenly, I mean, Paul was on his way, and he was probably thinking about, well, there's Damascus, just a few miles down the road. I gotta get something, get things lined up to what type of persecution it's gonna be. But as soon as Paul got closer to Damascus, suddenly, out of the blue, Paul was walking, and all of a sudden, a light come down from heaven, and it shined upon Paul and knocked Paul to the ground. And when it knocked him to the ground, that's when I believe the Holy Spirit said to Paul, Paul, now you have an opportunity to be saved. You have an opportunity now to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's giving you an opportunity now. And don't waste that opportunity. Because the Lord Jesus, he has something special for you. He has something special for you to do. Now Paul, you know, he's going around persecuting churches, persecuting the Christian, having them murdered, having them killed. And I don't know if Paul really had, as far as his physical hand upon a sword or anything, and went and cut somebody's head off. I don't know about that. But I haven't read that yet. But he still gave the orders. And if you give an order, that means that you're in control of the order. That means that what you say needs to be carried out. And it needs to be carried out the way that you approach the individual with the order. But that light, suddenly, the sky just opened up, and the illumination from the Lord Jesus Christ shine upon Paul that day. And Paul was standing at the right hand of God the Father. See, Saul, he couldn't go to the Father. He could not go to the Father and say, Father, forgive me. No, because his father did not go to the cross. The Father's Son's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that died for Paul. He's the one that died for the whole world. And he was the only one that could save anybody from going to hell. He was the only one. You say, well, why? Well, why do you say, well, sometimes God, you know, God can save. We have to realize when we talk, we're speaking about three in one. Paul's talking about the Trinity. The Trinity of God. God is the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son. And the Holy Spirit is the one that, call him first cousin. Call him anything you want to, but it's not a it. The Holy Spirit's a he. The Holy Spirit is an individual being. Just like God is an individual being. And just like the Son of God is an individual being. And when I'm speaking about a being, I'm speaking about someone that has lived and have died and come back again. But we cannot come back. Once we die, Once they laugh, the breath leaves our bodies. We cannot be brought back to life. We cannot. I know we've all heard on TV about some of these people out here say, well, talking about they got shot or something like that. They was in a wreck and everything. And then they was on the operating table and they was operating on them. And they said, well, I just left my body. And I ended up in heaven. I seen all the beauty there in heaven. I seen all the bright lights there in heaven. I seen everything that went on there in heaven. But then the doctors came and they brought me back to the living. First of all, the bright lights that they saw, like some preachers say, was the cabbage that they ate the night before. It wasn't the lights there in heaven. It wasn't the same light that came from glory and shined upon Paul that day. Because and I believe Paul would have said this. Well, he did say it in about the right way. He said, to die is what? To gain. Life here I want to live as long as God wants me to live. I want God to continue to help me and teach me the life that I need to live all the way through until the very end. That's what I want. And I want him to do it. I don't want to do it, but I want him to lead me into that realm. I want him to be able to lead me by that light. It says in here, verse 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? Paul, the great persecutor. The great persecutor said, he must have been saved, it's him. He had to be saved. Because what did he say? And he said, who art thou, Lord? He recognized who the Lord was. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And the trembling and the astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. He said, arise, Paul. Arise upon your feet. And I will give you the strength. And I will give you the knowledge. And I will give you the wisdom to go into that city and to tell them all about Jesus. All about God the Father. And that they have a way to where they can get saved. They don't have to worry about living the life of despair and things like that, thinking that somebody's going to come by there and persecute them like they'd heard about Paul. Yeah, they heard about Paul. All the churches in that day, they heard about Paul and what Paul was doing. Paul was doing his job. That's just like us when we go to work for somebody. When we go to work for them, they have a specific job that we must do. But I think that also in doing the job, we need to know what the job is for us to do before we say yes, okay? Because I know this. I know it's hard to do some things on a job, and when you're depending on the income for you and your family, and you're depending on that income. But then when the owner of the company, they come by and they tell you, say, well, you must do this. You must tell them this. You must tell them that. Other words, basically, what they don't want to say, they don't want to say to me, they don't want to say to you, says, what I want you to do is, I want you to lie to the individual. I want you to lie to them. So we will not be responsible. But you know something? We're going to be held responsible. We're going to be held responsible if we tell someone, well, what we done last week, you know, it was kind of a little on the shady side and everything. It says, now if you go tell anybody and you tell them that that's the truth, no, it's a lie. That's a lie. It comes from the father of lies, the devil, Satan himself, because he is the father of all lies. There's no truth in him at all. But in verse 6, and he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. It must tell thee what thou must do. As speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling Paul. Says, Paul, I want you to go into that city. And when you get to that city, there's going to be an individual. There's going to be a man. There's going to be a human being. There's going to be life there. But they're going to give you the answer you need. They're going to give you the directions and the way that you lead your men. Because you know that you're still the leader of your men. That you're taking them into battle. You're leading them. And the Holy Spirit had been working on Paul the whole time. About when he really got into the city. Exactly what to say to the men. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. The people that journeyed with Paul, other words, the soldiers, the army that Paul had when he left his office that morning, or the office of the business that morning, when he left out, he had a company of men to follow him. When a company of men followed him, they knew in their heart what they was going to have to do, because it was the same company of men that Paul had every time he went out. And when he had Stephen's persecuted, when he had Philip and all of them persecuted, when he had the Christians persecuted, when he had the churches tore down, the synagogues demolished and everything, no sign of Christianity nowhere. But the man, which journeyed with him, stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. I can just picture that as the Holy Spirit. They heard a voice, But they did not look upon no individual. They could not see no one else around. It was the Holy Spirit speaking to them. And then when Paul and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes was opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hands and brought him unto Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which there is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things must be suffered for my name's sake. I'm going to stop right there, but you can go on down in the chapter and you can see where Paul was filled with the Spirit of God, and where Paul was baptized, and where Paul was called to preach, and where Paul went and visited Jerusalem, and he visited Tarsus, and the healing of Ananias and Tabitha raised from the dead. We see that all of that in chapter 9. What Paul done after he got saved, he done everything the Lord asked him to do. He did not question the Lord. Say, Lord, you know, I can't do that. I don't know anything about that. Lord, I don't know anything about telling somebody about you and being able to lead them to the Lord. I can just imagine what the Lord said. And I'm sure the Lord said to him, said Paul. He says, I know you can't do it, but you can do it through me. You can do it if you allow me to help you. But you have to have the Lord to help you. I think that's where we come up short a whole lot of times. We just don't ask him to help us. We just don't ask him to help us. We don't ask him to give us the right words to say to people. That's where we come up short. We must always ask the Lord, Lord, if you'll put the words on the tip of my tongue, as I open my mouth, that them words will just flow out with no hesitation at all. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. And Father, we do thank you, God, that you are the only one that we need to look to. You're the only one that we need to come and bring our problems to. And you're the only one that we need to come to and ask you to help us and lead us to that individual that's lost. Father, there's no telling how many people that we come in contact with each and every day during the week that's lost. There's no telling. But Father, we need to be about your business. Because this is your business. It's not my business. It's not the people's business. This is your business. And you want your business to be run the way that you've given it directions to run. And Father, and we do not want to enlarge hell any longer. Father, because it's because of us, it's because of our actions that hell is being enlarged each and every day. So Father, help us that we may be a witness for you this coming week, that we may tell somebody about Jesus, that we may be able to tell them about Jesus and just ask them, are they in church? And ask them, are they saved? And if they're not, and invite them to church. That's all we need to do. We don't need to go any further. That's all we need to do. We don't need to beg them. We don't need to go back home and just get in a little closet and start praying for them and all that, because we done already done the main important thing. We need to allow you to do your part. And if we allow you to do your part, then yes, they will heed upon thee. But Father, there's a whole lot of times we'll go to the individuals. And I've been to the individuals and I've prayed with them and I've talked to them and I've asked them, are they saved? And I've asked them, if they was to die today, would they go to heaven? Father, I went and I've talked to them. And they tell me they're not in church. Some has even told me that they're not saved. Some has even told me that they didn't want to be saved. But Father, that's all I need to do. That's when you need to take over. That's when I need to say, Lord, now you come on in now. I done done what you asked me to do. Lord, you do what you need to do. And you give me another name to where I can go and visit them. The reason people today don't come to church is because of us as individuals. May not sound like it, and we may not think that we're doing it, but we're hounding them to come to church and to get saved. We don't need to hound them. We need to just love them. Father, I pray, God, that you go with us this week. Help us, Father. Yes, Lord, the people that we come in contact with, that where we've never met before, it may be a sales lady at the cashier. It may be an individual that is out there in the store there that's putting up the stock. There may be individuals there, the gentleman there that we call upon and ask them, where is this particular product at? And Lord, and we've never met them before. We've never spoken to them before. But I thank you for giving us the opportunity. The opportunity don't come that much anymore. But Father, help us that we will not waste our time, but most of all, we won't waste your time. We'll do what you say for us to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord. Be with us this coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.